You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas, here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, good evening and welcome into another edition of the Big E Sports Show at the all-new SB Nation Radio. And we have got you covered over the next 2 hours. Of course, all of our guests tonight will be joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that's progressive. And up first, it is time for some college football talk. We are delighted to have back with us from ESPN Radio, and that is Bill Rosinski. He is in Louisville getting prepared to call Florida State, the Louisville matchup, noon Eastern time kickoff. It's going to be nationally televised on ABC and, of course, airing on ESPN Radio. Good evening, Bill.
Hi, Alyssa. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you on. So let's get right to it. The second-ranked Florida Seminoles, they're on the road to face Louisville in a pivotal ACC showdown. I know all eyes seem to be on the Seminoles, but not so fast because Louisville has really emerged as a legit player out of the ACC. How good are they?
Well, I think we'll know a lot more about this Louisville team about maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They opened up. I mean, their numbers are absolutely obscene. When you take a look at what they've done offensively this year, they average 66 points a game. They rush for 343 yards a game, and they throw for 411. That's pretty strong. Now, they opened up against the Charlotte 49ers, and I live in Charlotte. So the 49ers are a young program. They were FCS until last year, so now they're FBS. And they're just getting their feet wet on the big stage. So that's who they opened with, and they put, I think, 70 on them. And then they played the ACC last Friday and got into an up-tempo game with Syracuse. Syracuse was a team, I've never seen an offense try to line up and run as many plays as they did offensively. So they've been in two games where their offense has been on the field a lot, and they're going to go up against what I think is a really good defense, Florida State. Now, Florida State had that opener against Ole Miss. I was there. I did that game in Orlando, two different halves, and they really shut down Chad Kelly in the second half. Now, they played Charleston Southern last week, and, I don't even look at that game. Kind of like the Louisville-Charlotte game. What do you put into that?
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll see, and I don't know. The answer will be on the field tomorrow to see how good Louisville is.
Well, one of the reasons they are off to a fast start is because of their quarterback in Lamar Jackson. What have you learned preparing for this game? I mean, how special of a player is he, Bill?
Well, he's a big kid. He's 6'3", a little over 200 pounds. And the numbers, he's one of these guys that can beat you in the air and he can take off and run. I'm looking at his rushing numbers right now, 318 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's throwing for 7 touchdowns, 697 yards. So, it really revolves around him, the read option, and he's got some really good receivers. Staples has been really good this year, quick. They can run the football as well. They have a couple of two or three guys they put in at running back. So, to me, this will all be about adjustments. And, can Florida State handle the up-tempo? Because they like to go up-tempo as well. But the big thing for Florida State this week, Alyssa, is they're going to be missing Derwin James.
Mm-hmm.
James is when you look at their depth chart, he's a free safety. But he is one of these guys, he's kind of like what you would call slash on the defense. He can play safety. He can play linebacker. They'll put him on the end-to-edge rush. And he is out, hurt his knee in that Charleston Southern loss. So, or their win over Charleston Southern. So, he's going to be out for, you know, probably like 6-7 weeks. So we'll see how big a loss that is for the Seminoles.
Yes, as you're talking about, the All-American defensive back suffered that cartilage tear, left knee. And what are they projecting? I mean, how long potentially could he be out?
You know, it's they're saying, you know, maybe 6 weeks, 7. It's really up to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least it wasn't an ACL, which would put him out for the season. So, you know, we'll see. Depends on how successful the surgery went, you know, just how the rehab goes, if there's any setbacks there. But, you know, when you're Jimbo Fisher, you have a bevy of talent to choose from. So I'm sure someone will step in and try to take his place. But like I said, that's a big loss, especially with this team that they're playing tomorrow.
He's back with us from ESPN Radio. Bill Rozinski joining us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is set to call the action, Louisville, Florida State. And, of course, what is going to be the key to minimizing Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for Louisville, from going off and, you know, providing just some of those explosive plays?
Well, it might be the Florida State offense. You know, I was really impressed with DeAndre Francois in that opening game against Ole Miss. He showed me so much poise in the pocket, especially when they rallied in the second half to win that game. And I think this game might be dictated by Florida State's offense. Can they put together some long drives, keep that the other offense off the field, stick it in the end zone, and see how Louisville plays from behind? I think that's going to be an early key in the game because you want to take the crowd out of it. But Florida State's been in this position before, and they have to go up again. They went up against Ole Miss in that hurry-up offense. They have to play Clemson all the time. You know, they will play Clemson later in the year, similar offense. So they've seen this before, maybe not to the talent that they're going to see in the in this game tomorrow. But I think that's a big key here. Can Dalvin Cook have a, you know, good game running the football? They've got some good receivers. Their tight end is solid. So we'll see if Francois, this is a big stage for him. You know, everybody's talking about Lamar Jackson.
You
but
bet.
Francois looked really good on Labor Day night, and we'll see if he can continue the success he had that day.
Okay, the Seminoles quarterback in Francois, how does he compare? What have you heard in terms of from the coaches perhaps on how he compares to Jameis Winston?
I think there's some similarities there. You know, he's, in fact, it was funny, we were going into the broadcast against Ole Miss, and my broadcast partner, David Norrie, looked up Jameis Winston's numbers when he debuted, and it was, I believe it was a Labor Day night, his first game. And I think he hit like, I'm not sure the exact number, but it was like 27 to 29, some, you know, bizarre number of completions in that game, and looked really good. And he said, that's not going to happen tonight. Well, lo and behold, DeAndre Francois played some pretty good football. I think, you know, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's, you know, the book is still so incomplete on him. And I guess, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm trying to take a look here at some of the defensive numbers for Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's,
yeah.
You know, who you play, it's just really hard to get you know, we've got the one book. We've seen the Florida State Ole Miss game, and we know Ole Miss is a good football team. We haven't seen Louisville against anybody really good yet. So, you know, I think Francois is going to have a really good game tomorrow.
What do you think about the job that head coach for Louisville, Bobby Petrino, has done? I mean, he's tough to beat at home, 32-4 at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Come on.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, everywhere he's gone, you know, at the college level, there's been success. Now, you'd have to cross out his days as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. That turned out to be an utter disaster. And it's interesting when you leave letters in players' locker rooms telling them you're quitting as the head coach and
yikes,
jump on a jet and go to Arkansas. But anyway, you know, he has proven to be a tremendous, you know, offensive mind, and you've got to give him credit because he can recruit. We'll see how good Louisville's offense is tomorrow against a pretty darn good defense with some guys up front who can really get after the quarterback. So I guess that, as I look at this game and break it down 10,000 different angles, I think maybe that's something we should really pay attention to in this game tomorrow.
You know, usually when we have you on the program, we're teeing it up and we're talking some golf. And so let's shift gears and let's hit on the Ryder Cup. Selections were announced earlier this week. Davis Love III made his selections with Ricky Fowler, J.B. Holmes, and Matt Kuchar. Do you agree? Is this who you expected?
You know, I'll go with what they're talking about. This is, you know, he's got one more pick to make, Alyssa, and it's going to come after the Tour Championship, which is next week in Atlanta. And a lot of people think if no one steps forward in Atlanta, that it could very well be Bubba Watson. Bubba's right, is not on the team right now because he is not the most popular player on the tour. And I think there's a, you know, in the Ryder Cup, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of team stuff that goes on. Mm-hmm. And I guess the thinking is Bubba doesn't sit well in that type of situation. Now, our Ryder Cup team has been struggling because they've just been getting their butts kicked by the Europeans. I mean, there's no,
right.
You know, they're trying to come up with some kind of format here where they can develop a Ryder Cup team. Because, you know, Tiger's an assistant this year, Jim Furyk, Phil, you know, Steve Stricker's a vice captain. I think that, you know, they're trying to make this a team thing where you've got guys in the room who will be a part of this, maybe not necessarily playing, but be a part of this in a few weeks and then be, you know, part of the selection process as this goes on. To me, it's go out and beat your guy. We've never been good at foursomes or four ball. We've usually been pretty good in head-to-head matchups on Sunday, but then that backfired on us the last time they played. U.S. was going in with the lead and then just collapsed in singles. So I have no idea. You know, if they think this works with the guys they selected, that's great. He's got one more pick to make. And from what I understand, if Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas, or Ryan Moore can win in Atlanta next week, mm-hmm. that guy will be the last guy picked. If they don't play well, then it could be Bubba, maybe Furyk. They make him a player. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Hey, we are short on time. Been going one-on-one with ESPN Radio's Bill Rozinski tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Enjoy the call tomorrow. Louisville and Florida State. Thank you, Bill.
Sure, listen, anytime. Thanks.
You bet. Stick around. RC Slocum is coming up next.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio on this Friday night as we gear up for another big weekend of college football. So, in our next segment, we're going to head to College Station and we're going to catch up with the all-time winningest coach of the Texas A&M Aggies, and he is a college football Hall of Famer, the great R.C. Slocum. Good evening, R.C.
Hello, Alyssa. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. It is so great to have you on the show. Always an honor. And all I can say is your Aggies are off to a terrific start in 2016. They are 2-0, and they opened the season with a couple of home games against UCLA and Prairie View A&M. It's a, you know, RC, it's a small sample size, but what stands out the most to you?
Well, I think we're off to a good start. The UCLA team is a team that's picked to win their division out in the Pac-10, and it was a talented team. Got one of the better quarterbacks in the country, and we had a great game with them. Went into overtime, but I thought our guys hung in there. We had a pretty good lead in the second half, and then they came back, which good teams do. But we hung in there. Our guys played. We got it into overtime and found a way to win. And I really thought it was a great team effort and a great opening win against a good opponent. And then last week we played a really pretty talented Prairie View team that in their conference last year ran up and down the field on everybody they played. They were really an athletic team, and our guys ended up shutting them out, which is really hard to do in college football. I don't care who you're playing. It's really, really hard to get a shutout. And our offense played well, and the defense managed to hold them to no points. So we're off to a good start, but we need to be because we're going into a tough situation over at Auburn. We're similar teams, and I think we both got potential to have good seasons, and this is one of those step-up games for you that we've got to go in there in a place that's historically very tough place to play. And so I'm looking forward. I'll be at the game, and I really look forward to seeing our guys perform.
You bet. We're going to preview that matchup here in just a moment. Of course, the all-time winningest coach with the Texas A&M Aggies, you're listening to his voice, R.C. Slocum, is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always go back and listen to our entire interview at podcastarena.com. Of course, Texas A&M, they are off to a terrific start. As Coach was just talking about, that overtime win at Kyle Field at home against UCLA. As a former coach, just quantify how important it is to start off the season with such an impressive win.
Well, it is. You know, there was a lot of talk before the season. People and I was asked several times, you know, hey, would you rather play a weaker opponent or a stronger opponent? Number one, you got to play whoever's on the schedule. But given that preference, I think it helps your team to have a real good opponent early. So that I think all summer long, your preparation, I just think you do it at a different level when you have someone that you're really concerned about. And I've often said the coaches have player's ear for just a small part of the time, but their uncles and their girlfriends and their friends and campus friends, they have their ear all the time. And if you've got one of those so-called pushover kind of games, and all they hear all summer, they're talking about the third game in a year when they're going to have their first test. And if you've got one of those real good teams like we had in UCLA, then everybody's focused on that opening ball game, and I think that helps you develop as a team. It was my experience, and I did it both ways, but always tried to have a good opponent early in the season, and ideally the opening game, go out there and line up. It's okay, we know, we kind of have an accurate idea of where we are now because we know we've played a good opponent. And we've got something to build on, and you've seen players go against good players. And so I think it's really I think it'll help us. We're much more prepared to go in and play Auburn than we would have been if we'd have had two easy games to start with. We still wouldn't really know about ourselves. I think right now the coaches have a good idea where the areas are that need to be shored up and areas that we're good. So we're ready to go. Should be a great ball game.
Well, and the Aggies demonstrated their ability to close out games. And just tell us this. I mean, this has got to be one of the best home games and wins in Kevin Sumlin's era, right?
Well, it was. And I tell you, the call, like down the goal line, we decided in overtime to go instead of kicking the field goal and they had the ball after us. Coach Sumlin decided to go for it, which was, when the game was over, I said, oh, yeah, that was the call to make. I would have made that call. But when you're making it, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And the second thing, the call they made was kind of a naked quarterback keep that either works beautifully or it blows up in your face. And everybody's saying, what the heck? They didn't even block it.
Uh-huh.
So we had it blocked up. The quarterback did a good job of executing it, and he went in the end zone untouched, and it was a brilliant call, and like you say, a great win for Kevin to get this season started.
Oh, we are shining the spotlight on the Texas A&M Aggies, visiting and going one-on-one with the all-time winningest coach. Of course, he is in the College Football Hall of Fame. R.C. Slocum is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And R.C., one of the biggest storylines coming into the 2016 season was Oklahoma's transfer, the new quarterback in Trevor Knight. What has he shown you, Coach?
Well, first of all, he's shown I've been around him. I actually had the privilege of sitting next to him at a preseason kickoff dinner. And just what a great young man, really bright-eyed, intelligent, classy young guy, big guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got quite a bit of experience. And, I think it's a real blessing for us to have him here. I think he's a good quarterback, and we'll get better as the season goes on. But I think one of the things that you really look for in that position is leadership. And I think he'll give us a lot of that.
Well, he's shown, as you're talking about, the maturity, the stability, and these are two things, two components that the Aggies desperately needed coming into this season. Tell us this, in terms of how does this offensive system suit Trevor Knight? It seems to be a little bit more conservative, and he's obviously shown that his ability to connect with his playmakers.
Well, the thing I like is we've got a new offensive coordinator, Noel Mazzone, and he's an older guy that's been around, been in the SEC. He was at UCLA just prior to coming to A&M, but He's seen a lot of football, been in a lot of systems, and I think the good coaches like that will do things and call for Trevor to do things that he can do and not ask him to do things he can't do. So, in other words, play to his strengths, and that will be very beneficial for our offense. And I've seen that now. I think he's a good passer, and he's got some run capabilities. And so I think Coach Mazzone has the experience, and we'll give him things he can do, and we'll utilize his talents.
Okay, so we've highlighted the Aggies' offense. Let's shift gears here, and let's zero in on the Aggies' defense. Some are saying that this perhaps could be the best for Kevin Sumlin. And how much improvement and how much have they strided out this year?
I thought, first of all, when we hired John Chavis, I've known him for a long time and have very high regard for him. I knew him first when he was at Tennessee as a defensive coordinator with Philip Fulmer, and then he was at LSU. I watched him coach, and he's an excellent coach. I thought when he came in a year ago, I saw a dramatic improvement in our defense. And I think this year, another year in the system, having a lot of those same guys back, I think, again, I saw a big improvement in the first two ball games of our defense. I think we're playing with some confidence now. He's had us going into the second season of his system, and I think the kids have bought into it. Looked like they're having fun playing. We've got one of the premier players in the country, and Miles Garrett's a defensive end that is really one of those dominating kind of guys in the game. So I think we're a good defensive team, and if we keep guys reasonably healthy, we'll continue to improve. We'll be a really good defensive team this year.
The conversation continues at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show, with the all-time winningest coach of the Texas A&M Aggies. That, of course, is R.C. Slocum. His Aggies, they are packing their bags. They're headed to face the Auburn Tigers on Saturday. We will be right back after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
We are so glad you're with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. And in just a moment, we're going to be rejoining our conversation with R.C. Slocum, the all-time winningest coach of the Aggies, as we are getting set for the big game on Saturday against Auburn. As a reminder to all of you out there, all of your favorite SB Nation Radio shows are live and on demand right from your smart device. Search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. And if you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. Right now, we're getting ready to rejoin R.C. Slocum. Okay, so as you guys get set for the Auburn Tigers on Saturday, what is the biggest concern for the Aggies on D?
They're the kind of team, you know, their scheme offensively, they put a lot of pressure on your defense. They're a balanced offense. They like to run the football, and they believe in physical football. So they'll line up, and they'll test us, and they've got people to do that with the size of their offensive line and the skill of their backs and receivers. And they're a good defensive team, too. Also, they played Clemson early the first game, and Clemson, who was a very prolific offense a year ago, had a hard time moving the ball and scoring on them. So we're going to go on there. It'll be a big-time heavyweight kind of a bout, I think.
Okay, former head coach at Texas A&M, R.C. Slocum, with us a few more minutes here tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Of course, all of our guests joining us tonight are joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, comparing rates to help you save. Now, that is Progressive. And, of course, the Aggies' big challenge on Saturday as they face the Tigers, gear up for conference play. Just to recap, Auburn is 1-1 and rebounded from a season-opening 19-13 home loss to Clemson. The game tomorrow is actually at home for Auburn. What do you see the keys? We just highlighted some defensive keys for the Aggies, but overall, what are the keys so that they can move and be 3-0?
It's like any game like this one. There will be a few plays in the game that make a big difference, and we need those to be on our side. You know, no long passes, no long runs, minimal penalties, and turnovers. You know, I think as I look at it, it's an even ball game, and the team that eliminates mistakes will end up winning the game. And I've always had that philosophy that a lot of time in a game like this, one team or the other will do something to lose the game. Both teams are going to play hard. Both teams are talented. But I think it's a pretty even matchup. So in the game, playing within your scheme, us doing what we can do on offense, and then us on defense, gang tackling, eliminating big plays, and making them earn what they get, and it'll be a slugfest. And the team, like I say, their game with Clemson was a 19-13 game. Mm-hmm. I would envision a similar game, and I hope we're the one with 19.
Of course, Auburn on Saturday, but as you look ahead to the schedule, do you like it how it lays out for the Aggies so they can continue to build momentum? Because you know how important that is, Coach.
I think, we're in SEC, and we're in SEC West, so it doesn't get any easier. The next week we go play an Arkansas team that looks like they're pretty good, and there'll be another physical team. So it just goes from that, and we'll keep going into Tennessee, who is by some most people picked them to win the SEC East, and we play them at home in College Station, but that'll be a challenge. And all the Western teams, the SEC West teams, will, for the remainder of the year, playing LSU, playing Alabama. It doesn't get any easier. So that's what we wanted, though. We like that. We like being in arguably the best football league in America. And we like that challenge. And we're happy to be there. We're proud members of the SEC, and we look forward to to the challenge of this season and opportunities that we have ahead of us.
Well, Coach, I was going to ask you, I mean, what is your overall perception of the SEC? You said arguably the SEC perhaps is the best conference in the country. It is survival of the fittest. They had a tough start in week one, but a nice bounce back last week. Where do you view them in terms of among the other conferences in the country, in the nation?
I think, you know, there's a lot of discussion always about that, and there's some anti-SEC arguments always and some bias, but my thing is until people start doing it on the field and start consistently beating the SEC and mm-hmm. other leagues consistently winning the national championships, then it's hard to argue against them. And I think what happens, the league is so competitive that teams get used to playing physical football every week. And then when they get into the playoffs, that's what ultimately wins championships, I think. Teams that can play defense, teams that are physical on offense, and have physical players. And so when you get in big slug-out games, that's what wins. I look at Ohio State has that mentality, and they're a great team in their league. Michigan State has that mentality, and they're another good team in the Big Ten. Stanford, I think, has that mentality, and they're very good in their league. And so we're in a league where everybody pretty much has that mentality. And so whoever's left standing at the end is usually pretty good, and I think until someone demonstrates that they can beat Alabama, then I'd say right now Alabama's got as good a chance. If you were in a horse race right now around the country and say, okay, you can pick your horse for the race, I'd pick Alabama to be my horse right now.
Hey, we're wrapping up our time with the great R.C. Slocum tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And while we have you on the program tonight, one of the things I got to talk to you about, Red McCombs was on our program earlier this year, and we were talking about what are the chances that A&M and the Longhorns can get together and play again on Thanksgiving. What's your view on that, and how much do you miss it, Coach?
Well, I'm very privileged and honored to have coached in that game 30 times. I coached in that game more than anybody in history on either side of the rivalry.
Yeah.
And enjoyed the 30 games I coached in. I walked off the field 16 of those 30 times on the winning side.
Wow.
And sometimes I will tell some of my Texas friends that, and they say, are you sure? I said, yeah, you can check it out. I coached starting in 72. I was gone the 80 season. I was the 81 season at Southern Cal. But
there
other than 81 season, I was there 72 through 2002, and it's 16 and 14. And it was a great rivalry, and I always thought it – I loved it because in the – big buildings in downtown Dallas and downtown Houston, everybody's talking about that game that week. And then the guys out on the deer stand out in West Texas are talking about it. It's just this, and I grew up in Texas watching the game,
right.
And it's a special game. And things changed, though. I mean, the OU-Nebraska game was a special game, and that game is no longer played. And, you know, there's always some sadness and disappointment when you talk about those things, but I've wondered and I've talked with people. It would be very challenging playing in the league we're playing in, and you get down to the last week in November, the Thanksgiving weekend, and you're in the race for the SEC championship. The championship game is coming up the week after Thanksgiving. And you say, oh, time out. We got to go play this big in-state rivalry.
Right.
And then we'll check back with you, and whoever's left healthy will play in the championship game. So, you know, that would be hard on a coach for either school.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at A&M or Texas, and Texas normally will be down the stretch, they'll be involved in the championship of the Big 12. And so to take time out and go play a game that has nothing to do with winning your league's championship, that would be hard to do. And I think if you move the game back to September, then it's not the A&M-Texas game as most of us have known it. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. And whatever they decide to do, I won't make that decision, but I'll be supportive of whatever decision the powers that be come up with.
Hopefully they can make that a reality. Always a special guest, R.C. Slocum, former head coach at Texas A&M. We know him well, all-time winningest coach, and, of course, in the College Football Hall of Fame. We so appreciate you carving out some time and joining us right here at SB Nation Radio. God bless. Thank you so much, R.C.
Thank you, Lisa. Enjoy it, as always.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, the next generation of sports talk is here. All of your favorite SB Nation Radio shows are live and on demand right from your smart device. Search SB Nation Radio in the iOS or Google Play Store. If you don't have an Android or iOS device, you can stream us on most smart devices at SBNationRadio.com. That's SBNationRadio.com. Disclaimer, app functions require internet connectivity. Normal data rates apply. Visit SBNationRadio.com/app for more information. Coming up next, right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, we're going to be going one-on-one from the Washington Post. That, of course, is Jake Russell talking about his new book, 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, we are back at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Time now to shift gears. We've talked a lot college football here in Hour 1, but right now we are going to get into some MLB as we are in the final stretch of the season. And how about the Washington Nationals? They are first place in their division, and we want to get an update on the first place Nationals and how they cannot slack off with the remaining games as they look to make a deep run in postseason play. What a pleasure to have back with us from the Washington Post. That is Jake Russell. He is also the author of 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Good evening, Jake.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great to have you back on the show. And here we are in the month of September, and the regular season is quickly wrapping up. So give all of our listeners a pulse on the Nationals. How are they at this point? I already mentioned they were first in their division, but how have they done out of their last, say, 10 games?
Their last 10, they're 8-2. They got a nice, comfortable 10-game lead over the Mets. With that 1-0 win on Wednesday, and they're looking to secure the number 2 spot in the whole National League. That's kind of their primary goal. It doesn't seem like they're going to catch the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs have just been on fire all season. But right now, I guess their primary goal is to not only just secure a playoff spot in the security National League East, but to secure home field advantage and get that number 2 spot in the National League.
And Jake, they have played really well. So how have they managed throughout the season to stay at the top of the NL East?
Well, the Marlins gave them quite a bit of a run for their money, and it was kind of been a two-team race for second for the last few months. And the Nationals is just, you know, they've kind of taken advantage of the lower-level teams in their division, like the Phillies and the Braves. They've done what they needed to do there, and they've kind of struggled in a way against the top-tier teams, but they handle them better at home. So I guess that's why that number two spot is so important to them. They've been relatively consistent all year. There haven't been as many injuries as there were last year. That's what plagued them the most last season. They couldn't really develop a consistent roster or lineup every single night. This year they've had a consistent, you know, they've been pretty healthy overall, and they've had an emergence of Trey Turner's becoming a superstar right in front of our eyes.
And what about, as we're talking about injuries, the impact of Steven Strasburg and Joe Ross on the disabled list? Obviously it's going to be critical, you know, Jake, to get these guys back in order to make a deep run in October, because that would be, wouldn't you say, a major loss for postseason?
Yeah, I'd say they haven't given a timetable yet, but I personally don't expect to see him in the playoffs or postseason based on the kind of injury he's sustaining. Everyone kind of breathed a sigh of relief that it wasn't, you know, the Tommy John type of injury that'll cost them a whole year or so. He was one of their primary linchpins that they were hoping to depend on throughout the whole postseason. The top of the pitcher rotation is kind of like the pillar, I guess, of baseball teams. Mm-hmm. When they go into the playoffs, you need to kind of have the top two or three pitchers healthy and reliable. And with Strasburg seemingly out, it's going to be that much tougher to kind of make a run in the postseason.
Washington Post, Jake Russell is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, we're talking about the Nationals. We also are highlighting a book that was released earlier this year from our good friends at Triumph Books. It is titled 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and I promise we're going to get into that. So also, this past week, give us an update on the manager with the Nationals, Dusty Baker. I understand that there was a death in the family. I mean, how is he doing? And he actually missed a game.
Yeah, he missed Wednesday's game, the 1-0 victory over the Mets, due to a death in the family. And bench coach Chris Spire was the one who took over for him yesterday, and he actually got emotional when talking about Dusty not being there in attendance, and he really wanted that victory for Dusty since he couldn't be there, since Dusty's going through a pretty tough time. I'm not certain when Dusty will return, but I think the team's in good hands for now until he does come back, and that'll make them play even better. I mean, it'll motivate them even more since he has this tragedy that he's dealing with. And the team just loves Dusty. They've been just raving about him, his personality, how he can relate to the guys. and how he's just a cool, calm, and relaxed type of person.
Okay, so as we talk about the Washington Nationals at 83 wins in 2015, what are your projections? Ultimately, how do you see this team finishing out?
I could see them getting to around 95 to 97 wins to finish the season. The schedule for the rest of the year is not that tough. I don't see them obviously surpassing the Cubs to have the best record in baseball, of course, but we've seen in the past that didn't help them, like when they won 98 games in 2012. I don't think it matters, honestly, how many games they win, just as long as they secure that number two spot.
Okay, Jake Russell with us just a few more minutes at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now to shine the spotlight on his new book, 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. We had just highlighted the manager in Dusty Baker, and how cool was that? He wrote the foreword for you in the book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Dusty kind of, I guess, echoed what he said in an introductory press conference about his experience and how he kind of used to be a superstar, a star, but not a superstar. And so he knows the ins and outs of handling a guy like Bryce Harper and relating to him and kind of what he expected for the season going into it. Because the book was published before the season happened. So it's kind of like kind of getting a glimpse of his thoughts going into his first year as a manager of a team that was already assembled. The roster was already pretty thorough with talent. Anytime he was hired, he had a pretty thin roster. And this time he kind of came in and acquired a lot of talent already, so he didn't have that much to work to do in the talent department. He just has to manage personalities, manage lineups, kind of have that delicate balance. So that was kind of cool to have him lend his name to the book and write the foreword for us.
Yes, it is titled 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It celebrates the history of baseball in Washington, D.C. Both diehard and a new generation of fans alike will find value in its pages. No Nationals fans library is complete without it. Give us a quick hit on our final question here, how to take a Nationals road trip and make the most of every city.
Oh yeah, that was one of my favorite chapters to write because I've taken several road trips myself, and being in D.C., you're not that far away from anything. You're only about 6 hours away from Cleveland or Cincinnati, and you're only about 4 hours away from New York, 2 hours from Philly, 4 hours from Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of cities within reach, especially National League cities. The road trip chapters kind of break down the distance, the time it would take to drive there. Obviously, it gives a little synopsis of how the Nats relate to those other teams in terms of whether they're a rival or not. And it's kind of like a little brief snapshot of all these local places that fans should visit, especially since we're in an area where we're so close to all these major cities around
us. It is the ultimate resource for true national fans. 100 Things National Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Visiting with their amazing author, Jake Russell. You can check him out at the Washington Post. Also, check him out at Twitter, @_JakeRussell. Always a terrific guest. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way in hour number two of the Big E Sports Show. That's right. Super agent Lee Steinberg is going to be here talking some NFL news and notes. You don't want to miss it.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.